Welcome to another broadcast of Project Urantia on the Artist First Radio Network. A growing number of people believe our planet has been visited by celestial beings over its existence, and one person, in my opinion, who knows more about that firsthand than just about anyone else alive is our guest of every program. It's Michael in Maui. Hi, Michael.
Hi there, Z-Man.
How's life in paradise this week?
Well, it's nice. Came back. I was away for a while. Yeah, yesterday came back, and everything seems to be in place, you know, as far as the island, although there's a lot of things going on around the world, both geologically as well as socially. And economically, things are moving along in terms of the changes that are required for the turning of the age.
Well, and I'll remind new listeners, first of all, welcome if you're a new listener. And secondly, you can participate. Send us an email to dj@artistfirst.com, and we'll read it to Michael on the air. So where do you want to begin this week, Michael?
Well, there's a lot of places I could begin, but one of the places is, as I mentioned, it's the turning of an age. But one of the key significant factors is that many people are feeling or perhaps even being made aware of a heightened level of awareness or knowledge. This is something that is akin to a more of a lift, a type of lift in who we are and who we will participate with in the future. Essentially, what I'm saying is that since I have, you know, been with various celestial agents, different beings of various orders of intelligent and sentient beings of, for the most part, higher orders. But also I did participate with what would in some cases by some people be considered a little lower order of life or being or intelligence. However, our lift in this turning of an age includes a greater awakening and linking up with the celestial consciousness, which is something that is part of the citizenry of much of the universe that has been held away from us, held away from interacting with us due to various factors, but much of it being that they truly respect our sovereignty, our personal will, and a desire to guide ourselves. And as I said, there are many factors involved presently that are working together in a turning of a consciousness and a way of doing things, the paradigm shift, you might say, but not just the way we do things, but as far as a heightened level of sensory ability, and these extra sensory abilities are going to be just simply given out, and these are not necessarily to people who are, you know, newborns that will be gifted, but to people that can be very old, and they can be awakened in some of the areas that have to do with precognitive abilities, even abilities that may include extra communicative abilities. You can communicate on a higher level one with another, and this involves much more than just talking. But in our own technological area, we've indeed changed the way we do things in the world, by the technologies that are in our hands right now. But along with that, that move is part of overall consciousness shift, which will be using both the technologies that we have in hand and the heightened abilities, psychic abilities, that will be simply gifted to those who are moving to a higher or deeper levels of involvement in awareness, in the central celestial consciousness. In other words, those seven psychic circles which I've spoken of and was initially given insight into by the celestials, there's just an ever-growing number of people that are making the journey inward and are being imputed or given these gifts of higher order consciousness and abilities, supernatural abilities that are not so, you know, glorious like Hollywood stuff, but actually do work. It can be tested over and over scientifically, and it seems to be functional in many people, and including myself. And that's one of the reasons I freely talk about it, because I have found that it is not just a matter of circumstance, but a repeatable, very functional addition to the normal repertoire of abilities that a person is born with in this world. And these things are a part of the turning of the age, because the age won't turn if we stay in the old way, the old paradigm. And the new paradigm, the new way of doing things includes a greater celestial awareness of, not in the religious or the old religious sense, where it seemed to be, you know, seemed to be more aloof, but one in which is more participatory. And this is the dynamics of what the new age will involve as we turn into it. But in the meantime, we've got you know, to make it through that time, because it will include other you know, products of the forces that we'll be acting upon, not only our spiritual sense or sense of our consciousness and our awareness, but actually getting involved in the geologic sense, actually moving in the geologic forces that are underway right now. And, you know, and there are things that are underway right now, like, you know, Icelandic earthquake swarms, which hint at another volcanic activity. Canary Islands is up erupting. Krakatoa is moving around and erupting. The Anak Krakatoa, the baby of, you know, Krakatoa. And so there's a lot of things that are, in terms of we've been warned about, that are happening, as well as also the healing of some of the consequences, which has, you know, really turned the consciousness of the planet around, one of them being the nuclear disaster that followed the great earthquake in Japan, and that has really turned our way of doing things. It will actually change the paradigm and move people into a different mode, and it's being guided right now, and not necessarily, you know, intervened, you know, but somewhat guided. And it's up to us to recognize what we're being guided to see and to begin to understand, because it is something that we need to be equipped to receive. You might say, when we're ready to receive it, then the answer will be maybe shown to us, essentially, and it will be done right now. And these forces are just right now moving along, and watching them, and I'm amazed. I'm amazed at what's happening.
You mentioned earlier that the age won't change until we do. Are there forces besides ourselves that would like to see the age not change?
Well, the changes ultimately is one in which will have a direct effect on the universe as a whole. Those that are functioning within the area of control, you might say, those that the few that are in the areas of control, who want to retain control, are, of course, heavily involved. And I'm not talking about human beings, but they are individuals who are, you might say, not mortal. They have a very, you know, they're very, very aged, you might say. Very, you know, their age is in the tens of thousands of years. I mean, it's very, very old. They don't have the ability to just simply take over things, because believe it or not, they're essentially able to only suggest, you might say. They cannot literally take a person over and you know, become this great world leader inside of a body of a human being. I mean, that is not what they can do, but they can influence and pressure groups into thinking one way or another. And this has been happening through the ages. However, in our time right now, that particular group is losing grip much quicker than they did in the past. And there would be classified under, you might say, the rebellious group or the rebellion-oriented individuals, who essentially are the same, if you were to look at them, and as those that I've met. And as I said before, I was, you know, really shocked to find out that the system of planets that we're in right now is called Satania. And when they said Satania and the name Satan was in it, involved in it, I really felt, wow, this is terrible. Satania, well, then anyway, I found out that much of it had been a part of an entire revolution or rebellion. And much of it had been put down, not by force, but by realizing that it wasn't working right. And there are many who have been so distorted from the earlier rebellion that remain outside of the central universe governance, which is basically one of governance under the law of liberty in love, where that is the highest order of doing. Another one was be full liberty, whether to love or to hate, or to lift up or to put down, complete and utter liberty. And that was one of the problems of that rebellion, which allowed for disorder, somewhat chaotic setting, and the chaotic setting that our planet is in right now, which has a lot of different viewpoints and forces, both economic, social, and spiritual forces that confuse our planet. Those are essentially some of the components that are in the mix, and what right now what is happening is that there is a change in the kinds of the concepts of what is really good and what is really right, because ultimately it's being played out right now, and the results are being seen much more clearly than they've ever been seen before.
I worry, though, that in this modern age, if you have a little bit of money, you can control the public's perception of things. I don't know if you can, you know, make a peaceful person into a murderer, but you can have a major influence on what people hear and think if you can become a large media company.
Well, one of the things that made media great was, of course, its power to get the message out there. And the ultimate idea was to put truth out there in the initial idea of getting news out there was to have truthful news, truthful information. and it became biased because of the effect of the need for it being financed by whatever, maybe advertising or maybe ownership of by different parties that have a certain slant. And of course, propaganda has always been a type of control mechanism. However, because of social media today, people are able to get together and to make statements in our planet that has literally changed things in the Middle East. They're changing things even in China, of all things, like, you know, communist China, where you couldn't have free speech, but it's happening anyway, despite the fact that they would like to put it down. But to break that mechanism would break their connection through to and from their parties in which they exchange their products with, you know, through. And it's you know, they haven't been totally disengaged. I mean, China is not totally able to buy their way of doing things, their communist way. They have found that it's not that easy to quell, put away, or cover up. And in much more in free societies, things are being organized much more quickly. And as a result, the changes required in the way we do things are happening at a much quicker rate, a rate that is, by historic terms, light speed, you might say, versus, you know, horse and buggy speed.
What about we used to think about world politics, at least for the past 60 years, as Cold War, Russia versus the West. Will there be a similar, in your view, is China the next, for the next 60 years, are they the people who are going to have the sway and influence in the world?
Actually not. They're going to be participators on the great stage of our planet, and in a way that remolds the way, again, the entire paradigm. As, you know, we've been made aware, our celestials are there, and they're dispatched throughout. The ones I spoke of were the fallen ones who would like to influence things one way or another are also being headed off by these celestials, which I have been involved with, not only as those who observe these on the side that I've been essentially educated by, but there are also making suggestions, even tipping us off. And many times information falls into the hands of our own people that are, you know, situated, their very purpose is to protect society and governments are being allowed to get information or to get special insight, not simply by serendipity and not by just digging in and looking for different moles or informational sources. They actually are being given information. So there is some kind of guidance that is going on, and it does not necessarily have to be totally supernatural. It happens in a what I did use the word a serendipitous way, just by chance, but actually it's not just by chance. It's got some. See, one of the things that the celestials are standing in is what we are almost beginning to understand, the dimensional realities of perspective. When time and space are not a barrier that we have, where we are locked into both time and space through the fact that our universe and what we build our lives within that universe is encased in what we feel are, you know, barriers, they are not. From their perspective, they can see much more than I can explain. Yet, it is understood in their viewpoint that if things go terribly wrong and allowed to go terribly wrong, the entire structure, the planet herself, all of humanity could be destroyed in a very short episode of wrong thinking. And that's something that they have been continually implanting into society and tracing back those hundreds and thousands of years. I can see their fingerprints involved in the shaping of our society as far as it moving along and actually coming along, just so that it won't be their creation, but it really is a new creation. And this new creation is in our hands, and it is really being allowed to continue and move forward. And they understand this timing point and turning of the age is an important point in which a higher level uplift will come. And it's been underway for a while, but it's going to increase in its velocity, and there will be more gifted individuals, more individuals with special insight, not only creative, you know, like the creative insights and the people who, you know, at one time were captains of the industries, and then we have people who were never graduated from college, and, you know, like great Steve Jobs, and it creates a change, and devices that change a society. These things, I was told, would be given to us. And it ends up, what was remarkable is something that I think about all the time, and as I sat on that table, and that high Dano drew on the top of that tabletop, which seemed normal, and just drew without instrument, just his fingertip, seven circles, seven psychic circles, and he just drawing them by himself. Then I said, I know what you're drawing. You're drawing like a solar system. And he says, no, that's not it at all. But one of the things that he came up with was, I was so involved with how did it happen, what kind of technology is this, and I wanted to know. And all he did was assure me that within a short time, within my lifetime, I would see such technologies made by us, the human race, would create these technologies that they're using. And they were ultimately going to feed them to us through channels, which ends up being our own resonant channels, our attuning to these ideas, and then moving and solving the problems. And now we're literally going to start to solve some of the problems, which will be solved soon, within a few decades or so, which have to do with the dimensional trap that our society is built within, the dimension of space-time, and then looking at things in terms of a new concept. At one time, everyone thought the world was flat, and then you realize that, you know, the world's a globe. That changed the whole idea of circumnavigation, made the whole world smaller. And then at one time we thought the world was held apart economically. Now we have what we think about is essentially the world is one big flat playing field where all parties interact, and no one is disengaged, even if their governance is different from what, you know, we would think of as a governance that can participate in the economic events and the creative events and the technologies, as well as the goods and the services that are allowed. So all of these things are evolving freely, but with suggestions that do come from the celestials. And I can say that this much. A lot of what has been given out is the idea that we got these things back engineered from spacecraft is not true. We got these things forward engineered into us by our own creative and inventive and inspired ideas. As a matter of fact, the patent concept, the idea of what makes something a device or something that can be patented, is something that has been inspired, something new, something very different. And that inspiration was never given a source, however much of it is inspired by celestials who I'm a part of and I was introduced to. And they are not necessarily, you know, great teams of celestials that are involved, but they are. Many of them directing us toward higher society and putting the tools into our hands. As I said before, it was that very interesting tool, simple tool that was given a hint when I saw, you know, all of this stuff in our hands. And I always remember how that Thanos, the highest teacher classification as far as a teacher, universe teacher, is the highest level, is called a Dano. And he was over there just assuring me, don't pay attention to the technology. Learn what I'm trying to show you with this. You will be having that. This kind of stuff you will have in a short time. And to them, a short time was a few, couple decades, you know, a few decades, not even a few decades. And that's pretty much true. So anyway, now it's in our hands, and we are seeing the changes that are important that have been made because of them. And I'm glad to have been riding that curve from the earliest twinkling of technology and communication and ideas of higher technology, right on through from the from Morse code to where we are in our present technologies today, and moving on to even higher levels. And one of them we will be cracking a little bit more and realizing right now that things do move faster than the speed of light.
You read my mind. I was just going to ask you that with this seemingly new discovery, although it's going to take a while before it's, science accepts it as reality, if it is indeed reality, that things do go faster than light, and will that help us open doors to new ways of thinking about this interdimensional concept?
Absolutely. It'll give us understanding much to what we seem to, you know, look at. Often ask about it, and I always come back with the idea of a fish, or, you know, like a porpoise or a dolphin jumping out of the water. The realm in which they live is we're locked into, essentially they're locked into the ocean, let's say, which is their dimensional level. But occasionally they can jump out and participate in the air, which is, let's say, another dimension. And we, through gifts, the very gifts that I'm talking about being given out, will participate in this higher dimension, one in which gives a different perspective on things, and the ideas and ways of doing things, those things will become more commonplace. And we'll not only be jumping up and peeking our heads above water and looking around and then having to fall back into it, it'll become a place where we begin to understand. And this is exactly where their ships, their vessels, their vehicles, which are real, function in a transdimensional way, moving around in crazy ways. They explain movements is we stay still, and, you know, we want, how did you get past my question was, how did you get past, we got past the asteroid belt without bumping into an asteroid. It says, well, we went around it, but not in the way you think. Essentially, we just moved the universe. We stayed still. We moved the universe to us, where we wanted to go. And that's a whole different idea, you know. It's moved in. And I sat there and asked it. I must have said it 3 or 4 times. You move the universe? The whole universe? And we stood still? That's something that just, you know, was hard for me to understand. And it still is, because, well, you know, I'm just like everyone else. I'm stuck in this place. And occasionally I'm like, dolphin jumping out of the water and looking around. Oh, there are mountains far over there, you know. There's something else. Anyway.
Well, these... I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
These individuals, these beings that have been around for tens of thousands of years, who you spoke of moments ago, do they assume a physical body? They do participate within the society, right? I mean, you could walk up and touch one, right?
No, the ones I were talking about are essentially the ones who had fallen, had lost their bodies. Their bodies were at one time material, but the technology that was required to keep that going was disengaged. They lost it. They could not have it, could keep it, because that was not allowed to them, because they essentially didn't want to participate in the universe building in the manner in which it was originally designed by the universe builder or the universe creator. You know, although it was shown to me, these chambers, it is a technology, and it involves the ability to move these beings into, you know, another body or a body. And if they do lose their body, they still require that mechanism. There is only one case, and these are celestials saying so. There's only one case in which a celestial being was able to, by their own ability, to encase themselves or incarnate themselves into another body, physical body. And our planet, planet Earth, happened to be the only one in the universe that it happened in, and we know this individual by his common name as Jesus Christ, universe creator. So all the others function with the technologies that were given by inspiration, so that life order and celestial life order could progress from, instead of from the top down, from the bottom up. And that's where we are. We're essentially the bottom moving up. And what happened with these fallen celestials was they were higher. They came and were imputed with a physical form and were approximately functioning approximately 30,000 years ago, up to about 10,000 years ago. And within that period, I think all of them lost their physical bodies. Some of them have evidenced their bodies in some people who have made record of it somewhere. We're beginning to see it, and I was made aware of two types of humanoid physical bodies, forms that are in use and were in use at the time, many, you know, thousands of years ago. One was those with the tall, tall conic heads. Their heads proceeded far above where the top of our heads are. Their foreheads continue at least twice, at least the dimension of what would be considered chin to the top of our forehead. that would be, and then it would proceed exactly that dimension higher, so about twice the height. And the other was a much more robust heart-shaped head with two really large domes on either side. And it had a, those are the ones that I promised to help. And they sort of had this kind of very, very deep folds in their heads. It gave me the impression that their brains were outside of their heads, but that was not the case. But that they were extremely powerful in comparison to those that had that conic head, the tall head. The ones with that tall head didn't seem to be as powerful telepathically at all. Those that had that head that was having those two lobes, was looking like a brain outside of their head, were essentially able to shapeshift and also just be normal and visible. If someone were to see them here, they would of course be shifted to look like regular people, and that would be one of their key aspects of who they are. But I don't believe that they need to come here and physically function here materially and walk among us. There's another order of being which are exactly like us. They're human beings, but they were not born on Earth. They're from Earth, essentially, the genotype and everything, but they're literally from outer space. They're not from Earth, but they can function here.
Where are they from?
They were from various places, but I think a lot of them came from the New Jerusalem. That's the place that's orbiting Saturn. Riley calls it the mothership. It's far too large to be a mothership. It's essentially a very large city in space, the largest architectural sphere, or the closest architectural sphere to us, and one which is large enough to be considered an architectural sphere versus a mothership. Motherships would be more like transport devices. So any case, I was amazed to see the photograph from Cassini and it being in the exact likeness of what I saw it in, and also having actual shots, a couple of photographs showing one of the transport ships moving away or going on breaking light barrier, actually moving off somewhere else, and that was a long tubular craft, very large. If you were to see it on Earth, it would be miles and miles long, and it created a literal donut toroidal wave of light that was photographed by Cassini, and that's on the Hello Earth website, the Michael Connection. But those are interesting because those are gathered right off Cassini, the NASA website. And, that's amazing to see those things.
So did you ever find out what NASA's made-up explanation was of what you were looking at?
Actually, they never did. They just don't want to acknowledge it. They don't acknowledge it. They don't make a comment on it and just present it. That's it. And I believe that's what NASA is all about. Although I do believe that Curtis was receiving emails from NASA for a while, and it was suddenly cut off. No more communication happened. That's Curtis Cooperman, who runs the Hello Earth website, actually created it. And it has a lot to do with this whole project, because of his involvement with Riley Martin and everything. So that was something that he mentioned. Was ongoing for a while, and then very curious, and then they snuck out some actual photographs of the the New Jerusalem mothership or the city, the architectural sphere, with the three, what Riley called them as guardian spheres, but they actually are functioning in multi capacities, as even a observational telemetric stations, much like how we would make a very super telescope out of multiple array. You know, they just use three. And it was photographed, and it was sent. And that's also on the Hello Earth site. And it also shows the not perfect spherical shape, but one more like an egg shape, which is what I experienced also.
Well, when the spheres were in the corona of the sun, NASA just made up some bull feather explanation. You know, oh, yeah, it's a double image. Oh, yeah, our software, billion-dollar satellite's messing up.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of different problems that they said they occurred, but they also doctored some to make them look like the same image. And they were obviously different dots. The dots look different. As you looked at, what I think amazed you as well as myself was the shadowing of the ones that were real. And you could actually see them spherically. But what was more important to me was that these spherical, I don't know what to call them, but they're really living creatures, are huge, bigger than Earth, some of them, having the ability to work with gigantic energy flows, colossal flows of energy. And they were actually in crop circles. I saw some crop circles that looked just like them, where the spheres are linked together in a certain arrangement, and then you could see some of them around the sun for a while. And of course the sun was going to get very, very troublesome, but this is part of their activity, which is pretty much holding off some of the terrible things that could have happened and that did not happen. However, there's a point in which it will be released. But that would be as more and more of we, the human race, have become more and more attuned. And if the evacuation would be absolutely necessary, then the sky rakers, you might say, will come in. And really, it's a real rescue mission for the gigantic part of the planet. About a third of it would really be hurt. Yeah.
Hempy, one of our listeners, has emailed in that Nancy Leader will be on Coast to Coast AM tonight. Thanks for the heads up. If you guys want to check that out. You know, the other day I was writing a schedule at the office, and I was starting to schedule for next year, and I had to actually write down the number 2012. And
yeah.
It wasn't a figment of my imagination of something far off in the future. It's right there. We are so close to this time, and I guess, I don't know, it sort of hit home. It's the first time I've written it in a journal, and my God, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, so, you know, biblically, one of the things of concerning the turning of the age was that life would continue somewhat in a normal pattern, as if nothing was going to happen, and then it suddenly will happen. But then, you know, people like Nancy Leader's real function with the Celestials, the Zetas, you might say, are really trying to give a heads up to us in terms of planetary changes. And some of them are a little exaggerated, but the most important thing that I feel that she's giving out is the fact that we are not going to be functioning in a planet where our terra firma is going to be just that. It's not going to be firm. It's going to be quite the other way around, as well as climatically. Changes will occur that are just too fast, sudden, not caused by, you know, our intervention, human, you know, causes, but ones that involve extraplanetary involvement. And the forces, the gigantic forces that are involved, most of which we understand, some of them in terms of magnetic and energies and colossal flows of electrons. One of the important things that we function with, and not necessarily fully understanding, is electronics, electronic universe, you might say, and that will be fully involved. And some of the things that are also happening that I believe she even points out is the reports that are ongoing throughout our planet on acoustic variation, sounds that will be happening. Some of them sound exactly like a trumpet. Others sound vibratory. Others are disturbing. And the ones that will be truly disturbing will be ones that will be heard by in very large populated areas. And these will be involving interaction in our troposphere, right into areas which are land masses, creaking and groaning, as well as the atmospheric and pulsations, which will give off vibrations that we'll hear. And these things are all part of it becoming very close to a planetary shift. But ongoing with that is one in which there is more energy than just ones that are electromagnetic, you might say. They can cause geologic or gravitational. When I look at electromagnetic, I also classify what we understand as gravity as also some things that are more akin to like gigantic static forces that can, that tear apart things. So these types of electrostatic forces were one of the hints that the celestials gave me. Think of static electricity in some of the areas in which we blame gravity for, the concept of gravity that we understood it. They have a different understanding on it. They play a lot more into the electrostatic forces, and that would have to do with other bodies, larger bodies. So things like this are somewhat what we should observe and are observing right now keenly. And as I mentioned in the earlier part of the program, we can see them in the reports throughout the world, as well as ones which are changing a social environment, as well as the economic environment.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes left here before we have to close, but what about the socio-logical? I'm talking about the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy
yeah.
Boston. Is this just going to be one of these things that passes away, or will this movement have any significance?
Well, in the earlier times, it did come, a wave of energy did come through. And we remember those back in the 60s. I mean, people went into, they really didn't have direction. Essentially, they knew there was a change. They went freely and moved and were easily tilted. But in this time, this change in consciousness is more directed. Essentially, people are understanding. There's more responsibility that is being placed, not simply tearing down. Although there are parts of the world that simply think that all you got to do is, destroy something and we have a chance at rebuilding it in a different way. It's just a new way of thinking that is becoming ever clearer in how to do it. And these are going to be falling into the hands of people who are going to be responsible to bring it under control. There are many things that are out of control or went out of control, and these forces are economic forces or social economic forces are powerful, gigantic, but when it comes down to everybody's idea of what is right and is coming down to, at one time, you know, it'd be nice to be a millionaire, Mike. There's a consciousness that's going around. It's not about being rich. Everybody kind of understands that more and more. And what for? More toys? I mean, not really. That's not, you know, what it's about. It's about really creating a better place to be, a happier place to be, one in which is more full of real life, true life. So these kinds of things are happening, and I think those more directed changes in consciousness. One time it was, you know, you got a big concert and everybody gets stoned. Well, that was kind of an introduction to a change that was going to start to happen. But now we're having one which is more directed and more understood, and one that would worldwide bring about a better planet. Because out of that, we have seen too many of the mistakes come forth into fruition, and the fruit tastes awful. For the most part, for the most people who eat off of that yucky old problematic economic engine and the way it's set up.
Well, just so you can sleep good tonight, 2 years ago, after stress tests, they tested the banks in the European Union, and just a bank that just 2 years ago was considered an A1 strong bank, the 12th strongest bank in the EU, tanked today. Say bye-bye. They're gone. Once again, the chairman of the board, one of the biggest losers in his business in history. Do you think there'll be a cascading effect?
The cascading effect is inevitable in some of the playing fields in which they from these some of these banks. Just you don't know that there were the reason they're tanking is that they were, you know, essentially in areas which is. Normal banks wouldn't get involved with, but because of the size of the expanse of their involvement globally, and you know, went in too big.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say that if this business was a hospital and all your patients died, then I would say the guy running the hospital was a pretty terrible at his job. So I just want to pass that along. I don't know who the gentleman is that runs that bank, but you're not really good at your job, are you? The ship sank while you were in command, so man up and admit you don't know anything about your job.
Well, yeah, they didn't even know anything about the instruments that we were selling here and working with, so that's the problem right there.
Yeah, we've all screwed up things in our lives, and you man up. So this guy's got some manning up to do. You lost how much money? No, well, I just hope it doesn't metastasize to the rest of the universe, that everything is so interconnected. Well, Michael, this has been an ominous sounding, I don't know if ominous is the right word. It might be. I guess change is always ominous because you never know. You know, people are scared of change. We don't want things to change unless it's, you know.
Well, if I, you know, with the audience generally out there, there is a tremendous invite by the Celestials to get, you know, get your free gifts because they are right there open and to those who are opening their hearts and then their minds to these gifts, which will enlighten people to understand even more of what I'm trying to say through words. The experience of having these gifts function in your lives, various powerful gifts, that is something that is just freely being offered. But it takes an involvement and a personal desire to do, to become attuned to the celestial way, not to become filthy rich for a very short time.
And folks, in the closing moments that we have, I want to make sure that I say on every broadcast that Michael does this broadcast because he told his celestial friends that he would do this. He's simply fulfilling his word, something I wish many people would do in our society. Michael has nothing to sell. He does not get paid. He has to take time off work to do this job. Artist First will not accept advertising for this program and pays for this broadcast. Michael, on behalf of all of our listeners, as always, we are truly indebted to you for the time you give us on this broadcast. Thank you so much.
Well, you're most certainly welcome, and thank you for making the avenue, making it all possible.
I can't believe 2012 is right around the corner.
It is.
It's
yes.
All of a sudden, I mean, it just snuck up on me. I don't know. Well, stay
just
tuned.
Look at all the changes. Even you might say some. The Earth is actually blowing its own horn in introduction. It will continue to do so.
Well, and if we can still stay standing, we'll be broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for your support of this broadcast. Stay tuned. Artie Kornfeld Show is coming up after the CBS News at 10. And at 11 o'clock, it's Comedy After Dark with Tina Graham, the godmother of comedy. Stay with us, everybody. Thank you, Michael. Stay safe.
Okay. Bye-bye.